This is Reverend Joseph Caesar once more again coming to you from BBS Radio, Radio Land. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a joy to be with you all again one more time. It is a real joy. Today, I pray that this message would be a blessing to you, as I know it would be a blessing to me because God is in it. Something good is going to happen because something good is in store for you and me. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Today I want to talk to you about a voice in the wilderness. And my topic will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 19. And it reads thus. Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, who are you then? What then? Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered again, "No." Then they continued to question him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Tell us who you are." And then he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I, John, baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." Wow. Let me share something with you here. Most people today likes to position themselves or like to take credit for themselves from other people's doing. Most people do that. And when they position themselves, you fall at the bottom of the ladder. But John did not do that. He says, "I am not the Christ." I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet. He did not have to look over his shoulder to wonder if anyone else was hearing him. He says, I am not. At the heart of John's message was the call to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Unlike so many people, the Baptist knew his mission in life. He clearly understood that he had been set apart by God to prepare the way for Christ and urging people to repent. You see, the condition of man without God lacks order. Let me repeat that again. The condition of man without God lacks order. John says, I am the voice of the one that cried in the wilderness. Cry in the wilderness. He was not literally crying, but he was calling, beckoning people to come to salvation, to turn from their wicked ways. I am the voice of the one who's been calling all these months, these years. Make straight the way of the Lord, for the Messiah is coming. Let's look at the word wilderness here for clarity purposes. What John was saying, I want you to come out from among them. Come out from that land, that wild, uninhabitable, and uncultivated region. Come out and be fruitful. Come out. Come out from that barren stage in which you are. That piece of empty land set aside to grow wild. It is also something characterized by the bewildering, confusing, castrated, perilous, or unchecked profession. Come out. John was telling them, where you are, you are stagnant. You're not going up, nor down. Come, because the Messiah is coming to put things in order. Come out from your barren land. It's too long you have been there struggling and suffering. Come out from your barren land. When we get settled in our own ways, we get caught up with the glitz and the glamorousness of life, and we get swept away by the current of sin. And before we know it, we are downstream. Before we know it, we are downstream. John says, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John will keep on saying, the voice of the one that cries in the wilderness? Let me share something with you. From among the faithful in Israel, who had long waited for the coming of the Messiah. The forerunner of Christ arose. The aged priest Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were both righteous before God, and in their quiet and holy lives, the light of faith shone out like a star amidst the darkness of those evil days. To this godly pair was given the promise of a son who should go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. So Zechariah dwelt in the hill country of Judea, but he had gone up to Jerusalem to minister for 1 week in the temple, which a service required twice a year from the priest of every corps. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his corps, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was burnt incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And as he was standing before the golden altar in the holy place of the sanctuary, the cloud of incense with the prayers of Israel was ascending before God. And then suddenly, he became conscious. He became aware of a divine presence. If you are in any way, in the where you are praying or you are, wherever you are, and you're connecting to God, you have to be conscious that there is going to be a divine presence. He became conscious of the divine presence. An angel of the Lord was standing on the right side of the altar. The position of the angel was an indication of favor. Came down. But Zacharias took no note of this. For many years he had prayed for the coming of the Redeemer. Now, heaven had sent its messenger to announce that these prayers were about to be answered. But the mercy of God seemed too great for him to credit. He was filled with fear and self-condemnation. But, he was greeted with the joyful assurance. That joyful assurance which says, which he heard, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall see a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither," remember, listen what I'm saying, "and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." Sometimes when we are praying, we are finding and we are saying to ourselves, our prayer may be not being answered. No, this is taking too long. And I'm going to do my own thing. Let me give you a piece of warning. Don't ever put anything in God's hand and go back to try to take it out. Don't ever do that. Don't try to take the scepter out of God's hand. He has held you the first time, and he's not going to allow anything wrong to happen, even though it didn't happen in your time. Let me tell you how God works. God is never early, and he will never be late. He will be always, always on time. You know, Zechariah well knew how to Abraham his old age, and the child was given because he believed him. He realized that. The birth of a son to Zechariah, like the birth of the child of Abraham and that of Mary, was to teach a child spiritual truth, a truth that we are slow to learn and ready to forget. Divine truth, we're quick to forget divine truths and principles. A truth that we are slow to learn and ready to forget in ourselves, we are incapable of doing any good thing. But that which we cannot do will be wrought by the power of God in every submissive and believing soul. Oh, listen up. It was through faith that the child of promise was given. It is through faith that the spiritual life is begotten, and we are enabled to do the work of the righteous. Let me retract here for a little while. When the angel said, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." Whatever God says to do and you do the opposite, you are going to find yourself in a situation that you didn't bargain for. You cannot mix the world and God together. And the body is the temple of God. He says he cannot drink wine nor any strong drink. He said it. When the words of the angel, he says, "I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God," shows that he holds a position of high honor in the heavenly courts. To stand in the presence of God, you know you got to be pure. You cannot go to God any old wishy-washy how. To stand in the presence of God, that's what Gabriel declared. He said, "I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God." And he said, that shows that he holds a position of high honor in heavenly courts. When he came with the message to Daniel, he said, "There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael," which is Christ. "There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." In Daniel 10:21, of Gabriel the Savior speaks in the Revelation, saying that he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And to John the angel declared, "I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren, the prophets." So when Zechariah heard all these things, he expressed doubt of the angel's word. He was not to speak again until they were fulfilled. And behold, said the angel, thou shalt be dumb until that day that these things shall be performed, because you believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You know why? For it was the duty of the priest in this service to pray for the pardon of public and national sins and for the coming of the Messiah. But when Zacharias attempted to do this, he could not utter a word. He was as dumb as a doorknob, as they said. So coming forth to bless the people, he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. They had waited long and had begun to fear, lest he had been cut down by the judgment of God. But as he came from the holy place, his face was shining with the glory of God, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. So Zacharias communicated to them that he had seen and heard. And as soon as they said to the ministration they were accomplished, he departed it into his own house. So as John grew wax in spirit, and in the time of the John the Baptist, greed for riches and the love of luxury and display had become widespread. Sensuous pleasure, feasting and drinking were causing physical disease and degeneracy, denumbing the spiritual perceptions and lessening the sensibility to sin. John was to stand as a reformer by his abstemious life and plain dress. He was to rebuke the excesses of this time. Hence, the direction given to the parents of John was a lesson of temperance by an angel from the throne of heaven. And you know what? In childhood and youth, remember this, in childhood and youth, the character is most impressible. The power of self-control should then be acquired by the fireside at the family board. Influences are exerted. Those results are as enduring as eternity. More than any natural endowment, the habits established in all years decide whether a man will be victorious or vanquished in the battle of life. Always, remember, always, youth is the sowing time. It determines the character of the harvest for this life and for the life to come. So as a prophet, John was to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepare for the Lord. And in preparing the way for Christ's first advent, he was a representative of those who are to prepare a people for our Lord's coming. Yes, our Lord's second coming. The world is given to self-indulgence. Errors and fables abound. Satan's snare for destroying souls are multiplied. All who would perfect holiness in the fear of God must learn the lessons of temperance and self-control. The appetites and the passions must be held in subjection to the higher powers of the mind. Yes, the appetites and passions must be held in subjection to the higher powers of the mind. This self-discipline is essential to mental strength and spiritual insight, which will enable us to understand and to practice the sacred truth of God's Word. For this reason, temperance finds its place in the work of preparation for Christ's second coming. And so, in the natural order of things, the son of Zacharias would have been educated for the priesthood. But the training of the rabbinical school would have unfitted him for his work. God did not send him to the teachers of theology to learn how to interpret the scriptures. He called him to the desert that he might learn of nature and of God's nature. And he must nature God. It was a lonely region where he found his home. In the midst of barren hills, wild ravines, and rocky caves. But it was his choice to forego the enjoyments and luxuries of life for the stern discipline of the wilderness. Here, there, his surroundings were favorable to habits of simplicity and self-denial. What he didn't have, he didn't miss, because he never had it. Uninterrupted by the clamor of the world, he could hear study the lessons of nature, of revelation, and of providence. The words of the angel of Zacharias had been often repeated to John by his God-fearing parents. From childhood, his mission had been kept before him, and he had accepted the holy trust. To him, the solitude of the desert was a welcome escape from society in which suspicion, unbelief, and impurity had become well nigh all-pervading. He distrusted his own power to withstand temptation and shrank from constant contact with sin, lest he should lose the sense of his exceeding sinfulness. Dedicated to God as a Nazarite from his birth, he made the vow his own in a lifelong consecration. His dress was that of the ancient prophet, a garment of camel hair, confined by a leather girdle. He ate the locust and wild honey found in the wilderness, and drank the pure water from the hills. But the life of John was not spent in idleness, in the ascetic gloom, or in selfish isolation. From time to time, he went forth to mingle with men, and he was ever an interesting observer of what was passing in the world. He didn't pull away himself. He did not hide. He went back to see and to get a better glimpse of what's happening. And there he could build himself, pull himself together, become more stronger spiritually in order to say, I am the voice of the one that calls you out of your barren land, that calls you out of your place where you are stagnant, that to call you out, to bring you out, and to win souls through Christ, and to be fruitful unto humanity and God. And so, Father, I thank you for your blessed word this afternoon. I pray that your word was a blessing to those who were here and who were listening. Pray that you will bring me back another time, O God. I pray for the managers of the radio station. Bless them, bless their business, may you prosper. And most of all, Lord, that your word, which has the power in itself to bring itself to pass, that it will grip the hearts of men and turn them to salvation. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.